The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three. Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts, listen to the shouldn'ts, the impossible, the won'ts. Listen to the never haves. Then listen close to me. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be. Each Sunday, we come together in community, reminding ourselves that anything can be. The future is open for us to enter. We can promote a world of petty strife and unwarranted divisions. We can promote a world of reaching across divisions and care. We can promote a time of joy. Anything can be, and truly we are the ones who help to make the realities we live in. I'm Andrew Weber, minister here, and I come to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship to be reminded that a loving world is indeed possible. I am here to remember that difference of opinion does not necessitate divisiveness. I attend Sunday morning to be reminded that I am beloved and I am welcome. We do this work together. We do this work together. That's why I'm saying I come to be reminded, because each one of us takes part in this holy ministry, in the shared ministry of Unitarian Universalism. Those online, those in person, those of you who helped create and sustain this building, this place, those of you who are still searching, who came in wondering, and those who overlap in both of those categories. We each take up a piece of this holy work of reminding each other that what we do matters. It's up to you, it's up to all of us to remind each other that a loving world is indeed possible, that you are worthy of love, that you are welcome here. Part of our making and sustaining a caring, a loving community is holding a safe space. And I want Sheila Sangmeister to come up and share with us a little bit about the logistics of living our I Love Embodied Faith. This is it right here. We talk about being loving and caring. How do we do that in the world?
So this month in the Beacon, you'll see a short paragraph about the proposal that I presented to the board about creating a safe congregation. In 30 years of teaching, I was part of a district-wide safe schools initiative where the protocols that were put in place across 8 elementary schools and 3 middle schools. So no matter where a teacher or administrator or substitute teacher or even a student went into the building, the protocols were the same throughout the district. And I think that it would behoove us to look at some of those ideas to create a safe congregation here. I'm doing that through some UUA information and through some of my own experience, but there's a committee that the board has agreed to put together. And so I ask you to go ahead and read that. If you'd like to see the proposal that I presented to the board, I can share that with you. My email is in the Beacon. Thank you.
Thanks. This is the intersection of what we say and what we do here in this area. We mark the beginning of our worship and our time together by lighting a chalice, the symbol of our free, the symbol of our challenging faith. The flame brings to mind the lives we all share coming together for this one moment in time to create something larger. And as we kindle our shared community, we kindle our shared symbol. And I share these words from my friend and colleague, Reverend Daniel C. Cantor. Arriving on these shores of hope, abandon your cynicism, your despair, your short view of humanity. See beyond the horizons of setbacks and defeat. Let us together enter worship as if it was a new matter, a new day, a new chance at life. And as we do at Thomas Paine, we light a second beacon of hope for peace, a challenge for peace in our world and in our hearts. Please respond with the words on the screen. May peace be with us.
And with all the people of our world.
Our opening hymn is number 300, With Heart and Mind. The lyrics are in the hymnals, which are at the back. You may grab, they're also on the screen. I made a funny typo that Linda caught. Thank you, Linda. We have a lot of fire and flame and symbolism. I added an H in this, with hearth and mind. Maybe one day I'll preach about the fire and the hearth, but today it's with heart and mind. So please rise in body or in spirit to join in with heart and mind.
Please, Lord,
Okay, well, we'll just be cozy and have her story. All You Can Imagine, written and illustrated by Bernardo Marcola. This book will tell you a secret. It's about the invisible things in the universe and how you can make them visible. The secret is imagination. Imagination is like a vehicle. You can use it to travel great distances and discover wonderful new ways to look at the universe. Imagination is what we see with our eyes closed. It is what we dream of and what we wish were real. You see, there is a world all around you, and there is a world inside of you. Imagination connects the two. In fact, imagination connects everything, everywhere. Like water, imagination can look simple on the surface, while at the same time being as rich as the ocean. Imagination connects what is on the surface within the depths within. It connects things that we may believe are completely separate. It shows us more about ourselves, about others, and about the beauty of the whole wide world. Imagination is exciting and powerful, but we can't always call up ideas and inspirations whenever we feel like it. Still, we can help them grow and bloom. To do this, we have to open our hearts, our minds, and our eyes to the world around us. Then we feel that we are part of the whole universe. And just as we breathe in and out, imagination can now flow through us. When we are in tune with ourselves and with the world, we open the doors of imagination. It's no use hurrying. Imagination takes time, and it only comes when it wants. So we wait and watch. Imagination may arrive slowly. It is as if we are putting together a puzzle without knowing what it will show. Slowly, we find one piece at a time until something new and beautiful appears. Or imagination may arrive suddenly. It is as if we wake up and immediately remember a brilliant idea we dreamed. This dream idea is like a bird that takes flight. If we don't pay attention, we may lose sight of it. But if we look closely at what we dreamed, we may feel as if we have gained wings of our own. Imagination can introduce us to something completely original. It can help us discover a whole new world. And we want to share what we have seen with everyone else. One way to do this is through art. Art can show others what we saw. It can even help them feel how we felt. We can write songs, stories, or poems. We can paint, draw, or take photographs. We can make crafts. We can also build things. Imagination helps us make new and beautiful inventions. Like art, science is built through imagination and work. Here is another secret. When we share what imagination has shown us, we feel closer to everyone else. We feel more in tune with the universe around us, and we learn more about our own hearts. We can do this over and over again. We open the doors and windows for imagination to come, and we share our discoveries with others. Bit by bit, something wonderful happens. We fill the world with everything our imaginations bring. We are surrounded by beautiful new images that were once just pieces of a puzzle. And we see the flight of colorful birds we never knew existed.
Still sing, yeah. He's
made the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go.
That's okay. We had a couple different keys. This is where we come together in community, different interpretations of songs. I want everyone to join with me in a little thought exercise here. Or experiment, actually, a little thought experiment slash exercise. For a few moments, I want you to think about the past few days, maybe the past few weeks, what happened. Recall what you've done, recall what you've experienced. But as you're remembering the recent past, I want you to focus on the negative, on things that went poorly, times you felt upset or discouraged, out of control or anxious. Now, I'm purposely going to give you just a short amount of time for that on the negative. And now I want to shift a little bit and do the opposite side of the experiment. I want you to take the same time frame, think about the same days or weeks, and this time, think about the positive. The same time frame is like, when was I happy? What went well for me? Where did I find a sense of accomplishment? When was I joyous, at peace, or at calm? What has gone well for you? Now, as I usually try to do, as I try to embody and talk about things, so it's not just words, but experiencing, right? There's a reason that I started with negative and then moved to positive. There's a reason that I gave you not a huge amount, but a little bit more time to reflect on the positive than the negative. Because I want that one to be the outlook that stays with you, which remains in your emotional and your mental memory. So how did those two activities feel? How did it feel to be like, I'm gonna think about all the bad stuff, then I'm gonna think about all the good stuff? Any thoughts or responses? Was there any difference in remembering one way or the other?
The positive was more fun.
Yeah. Just wanna get through the negative. I see some nods, yeah. Yeah, so the negative constricts, stricts you down. This can even be a physical feeling or sensation. It restricts you. The opening up of the positive opens you up to new experiences, to more positivity. Absolutely.
According to neuropsychologists, we're actually primed for the negative because that way we know when there's a threat and the fight response can kick in. So you almost have to work to kind of counter that.
So there's a neuropsychology theory and idea that makes sense that we remember the bad or remember the danger so that we know what to avoid. Well, I'm going to remember that this plant is poisonous or that there's a drop in the cliff or, you know, because then I know to avoid that. So we have to work harder to get to the positive. Now, here's the thing. This is sort of a mental trick. This is a mind trick. I'm like, hey, check this out. Like, think of it this way. Think of it that way. Okay, everything's different. Now, yeah, it's a trick. And nothing we can do now can change what happened. Right? I mean, we can't change the past. But can we change how we view it? And that's part of it here. Yes. Like, that's where I'm going. Like, I don't try to, like, trick you when I'm talking. It's like, no, this is where I'm leading to. Now, if I asked you about your general view of life, I was like, have you lived up until this point a good life or a bad life? How has it been for you? Now, if I asked you during those two experiments, those two thought exercises, you may have very different answers. Right? The one time you're like, oh my gosh, my life's been tough. I have all these difficult things happening. Another time, you're like, oh, you know, yes, bad things happen. It's tough, but like I also have all this positive, right? I'm betting that the answers would have been different based on what you're remembering, on how you're remembering things. And I don't know if some of you have taken personality tests. For some of us, it's like we need it for jobs or for background checks or like an icebreaker. And now you can go online and just do like, what Disney princess am I, right? All those. And I'm assuming, don't laugh. I know you've all done this. No, I don't know which princess I am. But I'm betting that if you did this online test or the actual Myers-Briggs, if you did it while thinking about negative things and negative thoughts, and then you came back after thinking positive things and positive thoughts, you'd be a different princess. They'd give you different emotional traits. They'd say, oh, you know, you're an IFPJ. I don't even know what the letters are. You're this or you're that, right? Because it impacts how you're looking at the past, impacts how you're living in the world, your emotions, right? Even though you're the same person. It's just our mindsets are shifted. Now, my grandmother, I don't think she ever took one of the online tests, but she was really good at seeing the negative. She was really fun-loving, but she was also had this practiced sense of negativity. We'd go out for dinner, and everything would go wrong. Right? I mean, the food was too cold, the bathroom was dirty, her husband wasn't talking enough, her husband was talking too much, right? The meal was too expensive. I mean, the litany could go on and on, no matter the exact situation. It didn't matter. Even when the rest of the family gathered there, like enjoyed the food, we engaged in conversation, we thought that the prices were reasonable. We didn't notice the uncleanliness. It wasn't unpleasant to be with her. It was just that she had a way of seeing things and a way of being that seemed almost like a different reality than others. Now, I've had this experience with other people, and I'm sure you have too. I mean, I've done this. I'm like, wow, that was a boring worship service. But I don't often say that about my own, but when I go to one, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, can you believe that was so boring? And I say to someone, they're like, well, I was in tears and moved to transformation at this point and this music and this reading. And we were at the same thing. Not just difference of opinion, right? You can go watch a TV show, and I've done this with someone who's like, wow, that was a really poorly put together TV show, but I really enjoyed it. Watching and laughing at it, or someone else is like, oh, that was really poorly put together. Same opinion and a very different experience and a very different outlook of what was happened. So that's what I'm talking about. Have any of you had that experience where you're like, yeah, okay. You could be having it right now. Turn to the person next to you, like, this is, just do it subtly, please, yeah. Now, this is when we reminisce about a time or experience, and it's so varied or so different from someone else. And the neat thing is that our experiences can shift and change over time, right? If we keep thinking of something with negative connotations, if I keep saying my grandmother was really annoying to be around, I'll eventually probably start to believe that and think that, even though that's not the truth. Or it wasn't the truth at the time. If we always focus on the positive, we'll remember something in a more positive light. Again, this sounds like mind tricks. It sounds like, oh, you're just like tricking yourself, but this is how we work. And the idea is whether we're mindful about what we're doing or whether we're not mindful about what we're doing. We can't help but inform our memories through emotions. Emotion is how we remember some things. And it's our ability to shift is part of our human nature, and it's also our human nature to forget that power that we have to shift things. Forget that we are actually informing our memory through emotions. And there's an aspect of psychology which deals with our ability to change our outlook. Not to focus on the bad, but to say we have this ability to change our outlook. And the official term is neuroplasticity, right? Bending of mind, neuroplasticity. And that's our abilities for our minds to be flexible, and especially with regard to emotions, to feelings. And we can train our minds. We can actually train them to act in certain ways, to act differently with regard to memory, with regard to expectations. And how many of us know the classic example of an optimist and a pessimist and a glass of water? Like that's like, yeah, you learn that in grade school. Like it's half empty or it's half full. The assumption is that They both want a full cup of water, and one person's happy with half, and one person's upset with half, right? And, you know, that's the expectation. Oh, I'm so happy that I got at least this much, or I'm so sad, why didn't you give me more, right? Now, the proverbial water drinkers are not recalling in just a positive or negative light, but they're also looking forward to assuming the positive or negative. So it's not just past, but it's also the future. Right? We can create our own reality. Here's what I'm going to like. We can create our own reality, whether mindfully or inadvertently. If I come to a church potluck, we have a potluck today, stay, eat, please. But if I come and I think, there's going to be nothing I want to eat. No one's going to want to talk to me. I can make that reality true, right? I mean, like, I'll end up and like, this food, it doesn't look good, and no one's talking to me. Or if I come and say, I'm sure I'm gonna find something, I just heard that there's a vegan option here, I mean, I know, and the white beans too, I mean, like, I know there's gonna be something good. And if I come and I think, I know people are gonna wanna talk to me because I'm gonna wanna talk to them, that's probably gonna be true, right? You create your own reality for so much. Neuroplasticities mean we can train our minds to act differently. My grandmother had come to expect a lot of negativity, and she found that negativity. My grandfather was almost the opposite. He trained his mind to find the positive, and he found that positive. Now, this is the easy and difficult truth. So often, it's easy and difficult, right? We can change our memories of the past. We can change our outlooks for the future. And this editing of our emotions, of our feelings, it needs professional help. It needs reaching out and talking to a therapist or talking to a mental health professional. And that, there's no stigma in that, right? If my body hurts, I go to a doctor. If my mind and emotions are hurting, I go to a therapist. But more than that, it happens in other informal ways too. I mean, think about this community. Think about here, the litany of what this faith stands for. We as Unitarian Universalists say, you are beloved. You have worthiness, you have value, right? You are important. And every time I hear this, every time I say it, it becomes easier to say, it becomes easier to believe. This was not the litany of my Unitarian Universalism growing up. Same faith, but a different litany. And now it becomes easier to say, I am beloved, I am worthy. Oh my gosh, yes, I have value. You are worthy, you are beloved, you have value. Every time we say it, it becomes easier. That's why we do it, not to trick you, but to like remind you. This is how we live our lives, right? And this is exactly what Jerry was singing about. Come with me. And you'll be in a world of pure imagination. But that imagination that we're creating our reality, that we're bringing into light here, we shape and mold our outlooks, our experiences. And it's possible to cultivate the pessimism. It's possible to cultivate the optimism. We can become more negative. We can become more positive. And I can say this a couple times, we can go further, right? We can go further. Because more than just our outlook, we can actually have flexibility in our actions. Here's an example about my personal life, about changing actions. Now, it's a generally held view that young males are not good drivers. And you can actually look, like there are data that show like young males are not good drivers. And I was once a young male. And I know that I drove faster and more aggressively than I do now. And even though I like sped and like cut around, I mean, I would drive my dad's Suburban down 422 at like 70 miles. I was like, that's not safe. I shouldn't be doing that. And even though I was doing that, I wasn't always wanting to act that way. I believed, and I still do believe, that people should follow the posted speed limits and not multitask. Like, okay, I'm just driving here. What was I here? And we shouldn't do that. And my teenage self, this was when I first, before I was even thinking about going into ministry, my teenage self said, how am I acting and how am I believing and how can I get them more in line with each other? And I ended up using my imagination to help bring my driving more in line with my idea of being safe. And what I did was especially helpful when I was driving alone. I would picture my best friend sitting in the passenger seat next to me. And when I imagined her sitting next to me, I was more cautious, more aware, and generally safer. And I consider myself now a pretty safe driver, but there are still times when I get behind the wheel, I might feel not quite acting in line with my beliefs. I'm sure none of you have ever experienced this. Right? I believe that every human being is valuable, is beloved, has worthiness and dignity. You also, them too. The person that just cut me off, right? That person too. No, yes, that person too. Oh my gosh. Right? And if all humanity is worthy and beloved and worthy of love, what's happening when I get angry at the person who cut me off? When I don't quite leave enough space for that person wanting to merge where I don't think they should be merging, they should go behind me, right? I mean, right? Or when I think they're in the wrong. Like, that's not what you should do at this intersection or at this merge point or whatever's happening here. Have any of you ever seen or been in that position where you're like, oh, I could have been kinder there. I definitely should. And recently, I've realized that my imaginary friend could help me again. My imaginary friend of teenage years could help me again, but a different manner. I started imagining my friend driving in the other cars. And that really shifts how I interact with them, right? Of course, I come with understanding when she needs to change lanes at the last minute. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, that's my best friend. Yeah. Yes, they can have the right of way, and I'll make the space when we're merging, and they make a silly mistake. I'm not going to honk and curse. When I remember to imagine my close friend driving around me, I trick myself into being a kinder person, right? I trick myself into embodying that forgiveness that I preach about. I imagined myself to be a more kind driver. And then by practicing, I actually embody the imagination of being more kind. And again, we can keep on going, right? It's not just driving, right? This sort of trick, this practice of imagination is helpful in all areas of life. There are people with whom I have a friction or animosity or disagreements, right? And when I remember the angst or the pain, and when I treat them as my best friend, it's easier to be kind, to reach out in kindness, right? When I see their actions as one that a friend is taking, then I'm more forgiving. I'm more open to listening. That colleague, I mean, I don't have colleagues here, so you have no idea who I'm talking about. That colleague who offended or hurt me, I've had that in places where a colleague said something that was unkind. If I treat them as my friend and I come back with openness, with forgiving, trying to get to an understanding of where it came from, the congregant who lashed out in anger, if they're my friend, I can tell them with care how I feel hurt, and I can work towards reconciliation that I would want with my beloved friend. Now, here's the truth, right? You cannot change someone else's actions. That's not a surprise, right? You cannot change someone else's actions. But you can change your reaction to them. You can always change your mindset. We had the quote from Viktor Frankl 2 weeks ago. In between what happens and your response, there is a space. In that space is all your flexibility, your power, your emotion to change how you respond, right? I can respond in love. I can be happier. I can kindly correct or ask for clarification rather than reacting with anger or reacting poorly. Now, this is imagination, right? This is all imagination. I'm imagining ourselves differently, maybe more how we truly want to be, maybe how we wish we were. I imagine myself more relaxed, more grounded. I imagine myself more able to play, more joyful. How do you want to imagine yourself? What part of you do you want to bring out? Do you want to celebrate? Do you imagine yourself to be more grateful, more caring, more positive, more calm? Take a moment, imagine what the you would look like with that. Now I'm going to step up on a proverbial soapbox. As I mentioned when Sheila talked about the safer congregations, I'm really big on applied theology. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise if you've heard me preach or if you read what I write online. It's like, yeah, that's neat what you believe. Like, what does that mean for how you live, right? And the example of driving that I shared with earlier fits into the blog I write, which is called How to Drive Like a Minister. And the title of that is my hope to convey the importance of doing everyday tasks, of mundane stuff that we do all the time, driving, like someone who has a very deep commitment to their faith. Example, minister, right? It could be something else. There are myriad analogous titles that could work of a moral person doing something every day, walking your dog like a nun. I mean, buying groceries like a guru. What would that look like? Eating dinner like a saint, right? The whole point is take any action, anything you do, and bring your religion, your faith into that action. Applied theology. What do you believe about human nature? What is sin for you? What is love? What does it mean to be in relationship? What do you believe about the start or the end of life? Now, how do those beliefs impact your day-to-day, your hour-to-hour life? Right? I mean, that is to say, when I talk about theological concepts, and I've led some classes here where we talk about, like, what do you think about God and death? Okay, now what does that mean for, like, when you walk out these doors? I love to bring in practical examples, right? And this is sort of meta here, because I believe that humans are inherently good. I believe in the power of love to heal. I believe that anyone can have an impact on the world. It keeps on going. So not only can we imagine a new outlook on life, a new way of living, a new way of experiencing, a new way of acting, we can imagine a new world order, right? I mean, we can imagine, like, what would this world look like with love at the center. Really? Yeah. If you are beloved and what you do matters, what you do has an impact, then you can change the world in small and big ways, right? We can imagine a more calm self. We can imagine a more loving world. Then what? Then we start to live into our imagination and we begin making that reality true. I could go on for hours about the examples. That's why I write my blog, because I'm like, oh, what about this? What about that? Yeah. When we imagine division, when we keep in our minds separation, we live into that reality, we help to sustain it. What would happen if we imagined the opposite? What would happen if we kept in our minds a loving world of reaching across divides and care for those in need? I've heard one definition of faith is living in the world as you want it to be. Faith is living in the world as you want it to be. Right? What would that look like? From desiring a reality comes helping to create that reality. Right? What do you imagine? What would change if you had faith in those realities, right? Do you want our religious gathering? Do you want this community to be more loving, welcoming, or promoting of social justice? Live into that. That will make it true and happen. Do you imagine our larger community where people meet their neighbors and smile at each other? You can make that happen. Right? Maybe you imagine a country where there's less political division. Reach across the divides. Is your perfect world more generous, more socially conscious, more sustainable, What would it look like to live as if your perfect world already existed? I end with the contemporary prophets of Shel Silverstein, Willy Wonka, and Michael Jackson. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. Amen. Blessed be, and may the fourth be with you. Let's sing. Rise in body or in spirit for 146. Soon the day will arrive. And as I introduce this, soon the day will arrive because we're making it arrive. 146.
Life comes at us with waves of joy and sorrow. When those waves become too much for us to hold by ourselves, we share. Let us now take a moment to share into this caring community any matter we hold in our heart which spills out for support or celebration. Online, you can let the host know. In person, you can come forward and speak briefly into the microphone. Please start with your name. Come, let us share together.
We will bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to sing Spirit of Life. The video will show up on the screen here shortly. It will play through twice, so you're welcome to listen once and sing twice, or whatever you would like to do is perfect.
Come on to me, sing in my. Good morning. I'm Cindy Westfall, and I'm the only thing standing between you and brunch. So we're going to go do a guided meditation, which we started doing. Alex started doing it a couple weeks ago, and it's been a nice way to close. A lot of joys today. And Larry, I have to say, Larry, where are you? You did win. Your beautiful wife, Susan. That was how you won, right? Winner. And so many joys. So let's focus on the joys as you close your eyes. Allow yourself to get comfortable and relax. Begin with a few slow, deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth, letting your body get relaxed. Feel the relaxation flowing from your head all the way down your body to your toes. Let the chair fully support your body as you continue to breathe and relax. Now use your imagination to picture yourself walking slowly along a path. It's a pleasant path, any kind that you wish. It's a beautiful day. You can feel the sun beating down on you. Feel your relaxation flowing through you like a light. You're happy. You can feel the warmth and energy. Soon you come to a gate, and you know this gate leads to a special place where you feel welcomed, safe, and comfortable. Push the gate open and allow yourself to enter your very own private garden. Your garden is filled with your favorite things. Whatever is pleasing to you can be found in this place. There are flowers, trees, animals, birds, water, and even music. Look around and notice what is in your garden. See all the colors and objects that surround you, and notice how beautiful they are. Feel the joy of the garden. Your garden is calm and tranquil. Everything peacefully coexists in the garden. As you are looking around, aware of how things might feel in this private place of yours, begin to explore this place with your sense of touch. Feel the air moving around you. Perhaps some things are soft and warm and others are soft and cool. Simply spend some time exploring using your sense of touch as you continue to feel at peace and comfortable. Feel the energy of this place healing you from within. And notice what the air feels like. Is it cool or is it warm? Is there a breeze or is it still? And as you continue to explore your garden by seeing and feeling, become aware of the sounds that you hear in your garden. The sounds in the garden, maybe singing, birds singing. Relax and listen for a while and see if you can identify the sounds in your garden. The fragrances are pleasant and soothing. Take your time and enjoy your visit to your garden, using it in whatever way you wish. Spend some time with the joy and holding each other and ourselves in the love and joy that surrounds you. And spend whatever time is necessary for you to rejuvenate and care for yourself. When you're ready to leave, slowly walk back towards the gate of the garden. You've enjoyed your visit to the garden and feel relaxed and content. This good feeling will remain with you throughout the day. Push the gate open and return to the path that led you into the garden. And as you make your way back to the path, to the here and now, remember that you used your imagination to return to your private garden at any time. Visit your garden anytime you would like to relax, to be comforted, or just to enjoy its beauty. And you're now ready to resume your day, stretch, gently open your eyes, feeling refreshed and relaxed.
Oh, thank you, Cindy. As we are coming back from our gardens to this place, we can rise in body or in spirit for our closing hymn, Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune our hearts to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of life's perfection fills our hearts with joy and love, teach us ever to be faithful. May we still thy goodness prove. Come, thou fount of every vision, lift our eyes to what may come. See the lion and the young lamb dwell together. Hear the cries of war fall silent, feel our love glow like a sun. When we all serve one another, then our heaven is begun. Come, thou fount of inspiration, turn our lives to lift our gloom and desperation, show the promise of this day. Help us find ourselves in union, and our hands tell of our love. With thine aid, O fount of justice, earth be fair as heaven above. With thine aid, O fount of justice, earth be fair as heaven
above. And how we live helps to create the world we live in. The magic that pure imagination can bring light to darkness and love to hate. Hold these flames in your hearts as we extinguish their physical symbols. Sandra's seen a leprechaun. Eddie's touched a troll. Laurie danced with witches once. Charlie found some goblin's gold. Donald heard a mermaid sing. Susie spied an elf. But all the magic I have known, I've had to make myself. Amen and blessed be.